I can remember the day. It was the 30th of April and it was 2016. That's the one and only time I've done Croagh-Patrick in County Mayo. The one and only time. There's a fellow by the name of Ricky Wynn. He's a mountain endurance runner from County Leitrim. And he's done it a few more times than I've done it. And if I'm not mistaken, not too long ago, he did it 15 times in the one day. Ricky, is that true?
It's very true. It's very true. 2 weeks ago on the 11th of June, I ran up and down Croagh-Patrick 15 times to raise money for more than neuron disease and to try and break a world record.
You broke the record, didn't you?
I did. I did indeed, yeah.
When was it set?
The record was set in 2020 by a guy over in England called Ben Wernick. And he managed to accumulate 22,720 metres of vertical and vertical metres. And I managed to set 24,000 metres. So 12,000 metres up and 12,000 metres down.
15 times. How long did it take you?
It was a 24-hour challenge, so you just had to do it within the 24 hours.
Okay.
So I was up and down 15 times in 23 hours and 28 minutes, which gave me a half an hour to kill, so I decided I'd go back up for another small hike.
Did you do it? So you did it 16 times?
Well, I did it 15 and a half, so I got halfway up and then I turned around and I came back down just to finish off the 24 hours.
We're on Zoom, so you can see, and I've said this to other people before, I have probably a pound and a half or two to lose. And the day I did Croagh-Patrick, I did it, I think it took about 6 hours. Up and down. I think we were at the top for about an hour because I couldn't face it coming down. I struggled coming down. It was very tough coming down. But you train on Croagh-Patrick, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Like you know, make no bones about it. Croagh-Patrick is one of the toughest mountains in Ireland. Like it's, if anyone goes up and down Croagh-Patrick once, you know, it's more than enough. Do you know, it's a really tough climb. It's a really tough workout. Like 764 metres from sea to summit, and then you turn around at the top and you got to come back down that, and it's pretty steep. Everything under your foot moves.
That's,
you know,
right.
Like lots of loose rock, lots of shale. It's a dangerous mountain at times, you know. But for me, look, I train there all the time. It's a sport that I've been doing for the last 6 years, which is mountain running. So I'm training on Croagh-Patrick, on the likes of Cairn Toohill. I'm training on all these kind of mountains week in, week out, you know, so I'm very used to it at this stage.
How does one run up and down Croagh-Patrick? As you say, everything underfoot moves from once you get a couple of hundred feet up. It must be... can you relax doing it?
Yeah, you can, you know. It's kind of like marathon running, you know. If you're a fast marathon runner and you're pushing on the limits, there is a moment in that where, even though it's uncomfortable and it's painful, you can relax into that pain and discomfort. It's just something that you get through training. It's the more you do it, the better you become at it. And it's like when I'm coming down Croagh-Patrick as fast as I possibly can, I'm pretty relaxed. Because if you're stiff and you're tense, more than likely you're going to trip, you're going to fall. And if you fall on Croagh-Patrick, it's going to hurt. So I try and relax into it. And pretty much do it with a smile on my face because, in fairness, that's what I enjoy doing, you know.
I got to the point about halfway down and my partner, she's a lot faster at it than I would be. But and in fairness, she used to wait for me. And I felt so embarrassed in because it had taken me so long to do it, is that I used to just say out loud when people would come towards me, I'd say, I'm never again doing this twice in the one day. Never, never again. okay, just one run up and one run down. First run up and down, how long did it take you?
Yeah, the first one I went out pretty quick because I wanted to build a bit of a cushion over the first three or four just to, okay, that'd give me a nice little cushion going into the night time. So my first one up was about 52 minutes, and coming down, I think I was about 22 minutes.
Gee. Wow. And how did you fare out at night time?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, all day long, there's people on Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Kilpatrick's so busy. It's like a stream of ants going up and down Kilpatrick from a distance, you know. And luckily for me, the weather wasn't great, so that meant the mountain was a little bit quieter than normally would be on a Saturday or Sunday. So it was a little bit quieter. And then once the night time came, I was alone on the mountain with my brother, you know, and it's as if the mountain just decided to give us a break and the wind died down. It was so windy all day. It was like just a very, very strong wind into my face on every climb on the, all day long on a Saturday. But during the night, it was completely still. It was so calm. And it was very funny because the moon was pretty big. And when the moon hits Kilpatrick in a certain light, the stone on Kilpatrick lights up. And it was almost like running down the N4. You know, it was lit up for me. It was so cool. So it was actually a moment where I had to turn off my head torch because it was nearly too bright to see.
Really?
Yeah, it was so cool, yeah.
And how did you fare out with people? I mean, I know that the day that I crawled it up and down, there were people running it, and I thought, geez, they're mad, like. But how did you fare out with people getting in your way? I mean, was that an issue, or...?
No. The great thing about Kilpatrick now, in the last maybe 2 or 3 years, they've done a lot of work on it, and they started putting steps all the way up towards the cone. So as you're running up on the left-hand side, that's where the steps start. And most of the walkers, hikers, are going up the steps. Whereas back in 2011, there was 11 guys that went up and down Kilpatrick 12 times. Now, that was a record I wanted to break originally. I wanted to be the guy that went up and down Kilpatrick 13 times. That was my goal, sort of like goal within a goal, you know? So in 2011, those steps weren't there. So I wanted to keep my route the same as their route.
Gotcha.
So I stuck to the right-hand side on the way up, left-hand side on the way down. So with the new sort of steps, boardwalk, whatever you want to call it, that kept all the hikers and walkers out of my way, and it kept me out of their way. So it was a lot safer, you know. And it's just funny. It's like as many people come up and down and as busy as it gets, people are very nice on the mountain. You know, you can have the crack and you can chat. Mm. They'd be cheering me on because a lot of people knew what I was doing that day. And 90% of those people were clapping me and cheering me. And, you know, they were really excited for, oh, my God, this guy's actually going to do this, you know.
Let's talk about the real reason that you did it, and that was to raise money for motor neurons disease. Tell me about that and about why you chose that particular charity or cause.
Yeah, look, where I'm from, from Leitrim, and then I'm from a small little town called Drumshambo, and I played football for a club called Leitrim Village when I was young and when I was growing up. And over the last maybe 10 years, I think there's been 6 people in that area that have had motor neuron disease, you know. And these are people ranging from, not old people, these are people ranging from 60 years of age down to 42 years of age. Like, you know, a man that I know very well was 42 when he got it, 44 when he passed away, you know. And then just recently, a good friend of mine, Eamon Reynolds, who's in the construction industry as well, he was diagnosed with it about 7 or 8 months ago. And just for me, that was kind of it. I said, I have to do something. You know, there has to be something I can do to try and help raise some money for this foundation. And I says, look, if you're going to do something that people remember, do something that I think is interesting as well and that challenges me. Because motor neuron disease is funny because it's a disease that takes away the choice, you know, so that I choose to go up and down that mountain 15 times. You know, the person with motor neuron disease, they get that choice taken away from them. So it's like I'm almost pushing my body to the limits because someone with motor neuron disease cannot.
Tell me about what your family and your friends thought of this particular. Of course, they're probably used to you coming up with harebrained schemes and ideas, are they?
Yeah, well, like I've never done anything for charity before, but like I've been doing this racing for a long time. So I've been doing the mountain racing for 5 or 6 years. And if you were to ask my mum and dad, now I'm no young fella, I'm 39 years of age now. But at the same time, your parents are your parents. You know, oh, yeah. They worry about you and they think about you. And if you were to ask my mum and dad what I do, they wouldn't have had a clue what I do. You know, until they came down and saw what I was at on Kilpatrick, they would have had no idea what mountain running entails, you know.
Yeah, okay, the harebrained stuff. What other mountains have you conquered then in your time?
Yeah, so we'll say only recently, I think it was 4 weeks ago, I did a race up in Donegal called the Seven Sisters, which is 55 kilometres with 4,200 metres of elevation. It's one of the toughest races in Ireland, if not the toughest race in Ireland in regards to mountain running. And I won that race and I put down a new course record of 7 hours and 7 minutes. Jeez. And then like I've ran some crazy races. I did the Kerryway Ultra last year and I finished second in that. That's 197 kilometers with 5,500 meters of vertical gain, you know. So, and then I've done loads of races abroad in France and Italy, huge races. And this year I'm actually going to France in 10 weeks time to race in a big race called the CCC, which is one of the most important trail races of the running season. But a funny one as well is, like, I have two brothers that do this as well, you know, so it's definitely in the family. Like, my older brother and my younger brother, Alan is the older lad, Brian's the younger lad, and the three of us do it. And the three of us are actually in this race in France together, which is the first time in the history of this race that three brothers will ever have ran together, you know, which is huge because thousands and thousands of people run in this race. Like, it's a huge race and it's been going for maybe the last 10 or 15 years. And this is the first time the three brothers will toe the line.
You got into this at 33 then, if you're telling me you're 39.
I would have been 32 when I packed in the football and then I started this then, yeah.
I was going to ask you, was it the onset of an early kind of a male menopause or something? But it was obviously that you were used to being fit and training for the football. Did you play intercounty?
No, okay. I played intercounty as a underage.
Okay,
but as a senior, no, okay. I never did. No,
right,
no.
Okay, all right. What's next on the list?
Yeah, so next is this race in France in less than 10 weeks' time.
Okay,
so I start back training. Today is my first day back training. I took a few days off after the Kilpatrick thing, and today is my first day back training. I'll do a 20k run after work, which is usual for me. That's usually what I do every evening. So I'm looking forward to just doing a systems check, see what the body's going to do, see what it's going to tell me, if I need to ease off or if I can go ahead and train for this. But that's going to be a race in France on the 28th of August. It's 110 kilometers long with 6,000 meters of vertical gain. So it's a monster.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your physical checks. I mean, if you're putting your body under the stress that you're putting it under, are you constantly getting yourself checked?
Yeah, so every 6 months I get my bloods done and just and get a checkup. But to be honest with you, most of these races, when you apply for a race, you have to do a medical.
Okay.
So when you sign up for the race, there'll be a template for a medical cert. You download that. You get that signed off by your GP. So it's usually to do with your heart and your bloods and everything like that. And then you send that off and that's it. So it's a great way of keeping a check on it. Now, another thing is, like, I don't eat meat. I don't eat dairy. I'm a vegan. And I'm a vegan for this reason, and I find it works really well as an endurance athlete. It's like the food that I put in my body is what I get out of my body, if you know what I mean. So I put the training in, I eat a healthy diet, and I feel good all the time, you know. And I always think that if you feel good, you must be doing something right.
Do you ever have a pint?
I do have a pint, yeah.
You do?
Very seldom, but I would have a pint. Like, I had four nice pints of Guinness after the Kilpatrick challenge.
I bet.
And they were very, very good. And look, I mightn't have another pint now for 6 or 8 months, but I do have a pint. Yeah. I enjoy a pint.
How did you feel after when you were finished on Saturday night, on Saturday, you know, when it was all done and dusted, physically, I can imagine emotionally and mentally you were on a high, but physically, were you Benjacks like?
To be honest, I wasn't. And people have been asking me, you know, geez, you must be smashed. Your legs must be in bits. Your knees must be in bits. But I felt no different than if I was to do any other race. You know, okay, my legs are in the bin for a few days, as in they're a little bit sore and a little bit tender, but it's nothing more than that. It's nothing more than what a couple of good days rest won't fix.
Okay. Can I ask you how much money, or do you know how much you've raised from your efforts?
Yeah, so as of today, I've raised €32,290, which is fantastic. Yes. Which was, you know, out of all the goals I wanted, that was the first one, to raise as much money as I could, you know.
How long more will you be accepting money?
Yeah, so I'm going to keep that page open for another week. And it's on the iDonate website. It's iDonate.ie/RickyWynn. And you can find it there, or you can find it on my Instagram, or you can find it on Facebook, and it's just at RickyWynn10, and it's Ricky with an I. You'll find a link there either.
It's a good job that you have a nice cushy job Monday to Friday. tell the listeners what you do for a living when you're not running 20 kilometres a day or more than that. Go on.
Yeah, I'm a roof and carpenter by trade, so recovery really come into it, you know.
You're a complete lunatic.
I'm always trying to tell people that your body's amazing, like, and if you look after it, it'll do amazing things, you know. I do a 44-hour week swinging a hammer, and I run 140 to 160 kilometers a week, and I feel good. And it's not because I'm, let's say, a freak in nature. I'm 5'2". Mm. I weigh 55 kilo, and I'm 39 years of age. So the only difference is that my body's adapted to everything I've thrown at it, you know. Mm. And I've looked after it as best I could. And when you do that, it'll do pretty cool things.
Good. Listen, all I can say is congratulations. It's a wonderful achievement. You must be very proud, but you're used to what I know. Continued success with it. And again, remind me of the iDonate page. It's iDonate.ie/RickyWynn. RickyWynne. So I'll remind the listeners of that again. Ricky, it's been fabulous talking to you. I'm kind of exhausted. I might go for a little lie down now after just chatting to you about the dizzy heights that you have been conquering. I wish you great success, and look after yourself, mind yourself, and run in safety when you're running, won't you?
Thanks a million, Jared. Thanks a million for reaching out to me. It's been brilliant chatting to you.
Pleasure.